Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Emily to talk about a tropical vacation down to Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. So tropical, in fact, Hurricane Irma came calling during the trip. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. Let me give you the website right at the top of the ad read here. It's www.thewisdomofwalt.com. This is the home of two great books. Of course, the original, The Wisdom of Walt, and now Beyond The Wisdom of Walt, the story of Walt Disney World, our favorite place. So now you have both coasts. You got the original park out at Disneyland and Walt Disney World with Beyond The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books to inspire you to live each day to the fullest, to make yourself better, and to improve the lives of those around you through little lessons left in Disneyland and Walt Disney World. Check out these two great books. They're awesome reads here in the middle of October by Jeff Barnes. You will not be disappointed. You can pick up a copy on Amazon or at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. It's your insurance policy against the crowds on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1240 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and hey, boo to you. It's almost Halloween. We're getting ready to go around and pick up all the candy in our neighborhoods. Not that I'm excited about that, but I can't wait to do that with Mallory this year. So hopefully you're doing well. And today, of course, it's a Monday, so we're going to take a trip down to Walt Disney World. And we've got a unique one for you. Talk about Disney taking theming to the highest level. They did just that on this tropical trip for our friend Emily. So joining us from down in San Antonio, Texas, but I want to give her a big Go Tigers, but not G-O, it's G-E-A-U-X for the LSU Tigers. What's going on, Emily? How are you doing today?
I'm good. Go Tigers.
That's right. You guys are having a much better season than my Tigers at this point. I mean, I know we're recording this a little bit ahead of time, but I still don't think we're winning the SEC East by now either way. So you guys are doing better.
Yeah, we're hoping to pick up a little bit for the rest of the season. But
we won't talk about Syracuse. You got them on when we recorded this one, but just by a nick. Anyway, so let's talk about this unique trip. You guys went very recently. You were down there last month. And of course, this is the time that everybody was thinking about Hurricane Irma, you know, a major hurricane to hit Central Florida. But before we dive into that, because I always think our listeners find that very unique, like what was it like to actually be there and experience as all these things were changing? This was your first stay at the Polynesian as Disney Vacation Club members, correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so walk us through that decision to go DVC and what's that like in your planning? Did it change? Because you guys are veteran Walt Disney World travelers, so what made this pre-stay different than any other trip for you?
So I guess, well, we've been going with my parents and my two sisters probably for about the last 14 years or so, pretty much every year. And my parents have kind of been, you know, on the fence about DVC for the last probably 10 or so of those years, just because, you know, we go so often and we love it. We go back all the time. So they finally decided to pull the trigger. They were actually there in May with my sisters around the, I think, the same weekend that Pandora and everything opened up. So while they were there, they decided to go to the DVC presentation, and by the time that they left from that trip, we were all signed up and DVC members. So my husband and I actually got to use the DVC point before my parents did. So this was our first DVC stay at all, and I personally am a pretty pretty major planner at this point, having been doing it, you know, for so many years now. I'm pretty meticulous about everything. I like to have my list of what park we're going to every day, and you know, my dining reservations and fast passes and everything are made as soon as I can. So it was a little different this year because we actually had another trip booked, and then we ended up switching the reservation. We were staying at Caribbean Beach originally, and then once we got the DVC stuff finalized, we went ahead and switched over to the Polynesian, which was pretty exciting for us, because, of course, you know, that was a pretty nice upgrade. But as far as pre-planning, I guess, everything was relatively similar, other than kind of going through the DVC system for reservations, as opposed to, you know, the regular Disney system. But the people over at the DVC officer were super helpful with kind of navigating how to use the points and, you know, getting a reservation on the books for us inside of the 6-month window, which I guess is typically a little bit tough, is what they kind of told us.
So let me ask you this. Okay. So because, you know, the date of your travel, you plan this months and months in advance. Some people plan it over a year in advance, and you don't know what's going to happen. Of course, you picked a fateful weekend time to be there. So why did you guys pick this time of year originally? Like, why did you land on mid-September?
Yeah, so we had never been for Food and Wine Festival before, which is crazy because we've been so many times. And so we decided that this was the year that we wanted to go for Food and Wine. And we were kind of doing like a combination celebration as well. So my husband had just finished with his bachelor's degree about a month or so before, and we actually celebrated our first wedding anniversary in June. So we kind of decided that we didn't want to go during the summer just because of the heat and the crowds and everything. So we decided that Food and Wine would be a good excuse to celebrate all of that stuff at the same time.
It absolutely is. It's a wonderful time to go. It's just, you know, you don't expect these things to happen. So walk us through the you know, I was there during Hurricane Charlie back in 2004, but it wasn't supposed to hit. Yeah. We had no, like, you know, we didn't have social media in 2004. We didn't have Twitter to look at every 30 seconds. And it wasn't, you know, the Weather Channel with the banner for 7, you know, days before, like, you know, breaking news, you know, it wasn't like that. So definitely. How did you handle this, like, week in advance, knowing that, you know, it's like dirt, 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 dirt. Here comes something out in the ocean. You know, is it going to hit? Is it not? I mean, I'd have been a basket case. Were you like that?
It was a pretty hectic week, I will say. So, you know, both of my parents were kind of rotating, calling me, you know, every couple hours for the 3 or 4 days leading up to us leaving. And they're like, well, what did you guys decide? Are you still going? Have you checked the weather? And we're like, you know, of course, we've been checking the weather every minute pretty much. And kind of what it came down to for us was we kind of knew if we didn't go this week, it was going to be really tough for us to reschedule just because of work and other, you know, stuff getting in the way. So we kind of decided we were going to bite the bullet and we were going to go for it. And we actually were originally supposed to have one of my sisters joining us. She was going to come for the first weekend from, I guess, Friday till Monday morning. And she lives in Pensacola. So she ended up having to cancel her trip because she would have gotten stuck, and she's in graduate school right now, so she would have missed class and just kind of would have been a little bit too much of a risk for her. So it was, you know, a little disappointing, of course, and for her especially because we were kind of looking forward to getting to spend some time with her. But yeah, it was a little stressful the week before, and even going to the airport, we were kind of sitting there like, man, I just really hope the flight doesn't get canceled. If we can just get there, you know, that'll be the biggest hurdle, we felt like. So,
well, and the irony of all ironies, you're in San Antonio. So were you not affected by Harvey just, you know, a couple weeks before that too, you know, at home, not only a hurricane there, but now you're going into a hurricane zone, you know, for vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we actually got to the Polynesian, they, you know, they were kind of like laughing at us because they asked where we were from. We were checking in and everything. And we're like, oh, we're from San Antonio. And they were like, really? So you left one hurricane to come to the other one. We were like, yeah, pretty much. So, no, we actually, we really lucked out in San Antonio. We didn't really see any effect at all from Harvey, which was what they had originally projected, that we were going to get it pretty bad over here. So we got really lucky with that one, but we were Yeah. Unfortunately, we were pretty lucky, I would say, with how things worked out with Irma, too. So
that's good, because I did have a guest that, you know, she's worked with me for years and years. We have a great relationship here at the Magic for Less, and she lives in Houston, and her family was scheduled to go to, you know, they got walloped by Harvey, you know, a couple weeks before, and they were supposed to go during the time Irma hit. So they're going in 2018. They're going to make the best of it and just go next year. But it was just, I felt so bad for them. I mean, you know, it's not only bad that, you know, a hurricane hits your hometown, but then you're getting you have this chance to get away for a little bit, and then a hurricane hits, you know, down at Walt Disney World the same time you're going to travel. It's, it broke my heart. So, all right. So walk us through, though, what was the madness like of getting out of the airport, landing at Walt Disney World with this impending hurricane coming?
Yeah. So, actually it was kind of probably a lot easier for us than a normal check-in would have been, because we were one of the few crazy people who decided to check in right before the hurricane. So I think there were probably maybe 50 people on our flight, and our Magical Express bus probably only had about 10 people on it as well. So that whole process was pretty quick and painless. So we got in, you know, late on Friday, and there were lots of people checking out. We did hear quite a few people who it sounded like maybe had decided to cut their vacation short by, you know, like a day. I know there were a few parties in front of us in line who I heard mention that. And so it was a lot, I think, a lot more hectic if you were leaving. You know, if you were coming in, there were a lot less of us, and it sounded like lots of cancellations. So lots of rooms available. And yeah, that kind of made it a little bit easier on us than I sort of anticipated it being.
So upon check-in, did Disney give you information as to what was to be expected as far as like modified park hours, Disney Springs, lockdowns, you know, or, you know, the term lockdown, but, you know, being asked to stay in your room, stuff like that?
Right. So they did. And I actually got sick while we were traveling Friday, so I don't remember exactly what they told us at check-in. I was a little bit out of it. But I do know that they gave us the pamphlet, and I think you guys probably had seen that as well, but just sort of what they were expecting, you know, to happen in the next 48 hours or so. At that point, I think they had already for sure announced that the Halloween party that we were planning on going to had been canceled. So we knew that change was happening. I don't remember for sure at what point they released information as far as the parks closing, but that was definitely sometime around when we were arriving, I believe. But we did know at that point, at least, that the parks would be open on Saturday. And then as far as other information that they gave us, you know, they were kind of starting basically to tell us, you know, we most likely would be in our rooms for some period of time. And the handouts were starting to say, you know, if you can purchase food in the park, that's probably going to be a good idea, you know, to expect some irregular wait times for dining at the resorts and, you know, kind of those preliminary things like that. But the definitive information kind of started to come out on Saturday, and they were really great about communicating that kind of in as many ways as possible. In addition to the handouts at the desk, you know, they left flyers under the door. They utilized the My Disney Experience app really well. They had some notifications built in, so we were getting notifications through that about park closures and, you know, hour changes and kind of what to expect again. And they also, the in-room, like, resort channel, they had a ton of updates on that pretty consistently. So I was really impressed with them, you know, utilizing that for communication as well.
Yeah, it seems like they learned so much from Hurricane Matthew last year. You know, like it was.
It sounds like it.
You know, because it had been quite a while since Charlie. That's probably the last major kind of impact to Central Florida. And of course, you know, My Disney Experience wasn't around. The in-room television isn't what it was. And people people are more connected now, and they need to know, you know, not once a day, they need to know once an hour, what's the plan, what am I doing? And that's just how society is. So I'm so glad, because to a person, everybody I've talked to, they say communication was really good. And that's really all you can ask, is that you know what's going to happen. So walk us through, say, you know, when you guys got to go to the Magic, I think you went to the Magic Kingdom on Saturday, or you went to a park, and then when Irma passed over, what's that like? I mean, what's it like being in a hurricane at Walt Disney World?
Well, I'm from Louisiana originally, so I've been through, you know, quite a few hurricanes. So that's sort of something that's pretty normal to me. But I think the thing that really sort of struck me, like when I really started to realize that it was real, was So Saturday, the parks were pretty much empty. We actually did three parks on Saturday because we were able to get around so easily just because of the limited number of people. But while we were in the park, they were coming over like the main PA system and making announcements about the park closing. And I just like, you know, I've been to Disney, I guess that was probably my 12th or 13th trip. And I looked at my husband the first time that they came over the system like that. And I was like, I've never heard that happen before. Like, that's kind of scary to just to know that it's serious enough for them to have to, you know, interrupt the atmosphere to say, hey, we're going to be closing the parks early. There's not going to be fireworks tonight. Make sure you eat before you leave. So I guess that was kind of the moment for me that I was like, oh yeah, the hurricane's really, it's happening. Okay, this is real. Good. So, yeah, it was really nice on Saturday, though, because we started at Epcot. We hit several food and wine booths with pretty much no lines at all. We basically just walked right up, which from what I'm hearing, that doesn't happen on Saturdays during food and wine. No. And then we went over to Animal Kingdom and we rode the Navi River Journey with, you know, I guess it was probably like a 15-20 minute wait. It was super short. And then we went to Magic Kingdom after that and rode a couple more things and ate dinner. And then we finally decided we probably should go back and make sure that we had, you know, water. And we had brought snacks with us just because I kind of figured that the grocery delivery service probably would be a little bit tough to use just because locals would kind of need that a little bit more than we did at the time. So we had food and everything in the room. So we got some water and we, kind of just went back to the resort at that point and went to Trader Sam's for a little while and kind of hung out. And then they, everything was pretty normal at the resort at that point, I guess. So, you know, couldn't tell a huge difference other than that, you know, there were no fireworks for us to watch that night. So nothing, you know, nothing was really noticeably different until Sunday morning. But again, they did such a great job handling all of that. They had Ohana open pretty much the entire time, other than that really it was a pretty brief period that we were on lockdown. So they had, you know, breakfast, kind of like the regular character breakfast meal. It was a buffet style, so they had like Mickey waffles and eggs and bacon and stuff like that. And it was at a pretty discounted rate as well, we noticed. So I think that was the other thing that I heard a lot of complaints last year about, kind of the food prices that they were charging during Hurricane Matthew. And so I think they really took feedback on that point, because we really felt like all of the food that we purchased during the storm was actually really reasonably priced for Disney standards. So yeah, we thought that was pretty great. But they had Ohana open for breakfast that morning, and then they did two other buffets. So they did a buffet on Sunday evening, which was kind of like the regular Ohana menu, just done buffet style, which was great for us because we had never eaten at Ohana before. So we got to eat the wings.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah.
I wish I was eating that now.
Yeah. So we were pretty excited about that. And then they opened up again. So we were only on lockdown, I guess, from about 7 p.m. Sunday evening. Till about noon on Monday. At that time, they came on the interim TV and they kind of said, you know, please exercise caution, but if you would like to leave your room, you know, it's okay to do that now. And they said they were going to start opening up food locations and everything. So then Monday around, I think it was around 3, they opened up Ohana again, and they had what they called a luau day, which was super simple and like a little thing for them to do, but I thought it made kind of a big difference, and it was just a really nice touch. So you know, everybody was a little stressed, and you could definitely tell people were anxious from being in their rooms and stuff. So anyone who ate at Ohana that day, when they walked you to your table, they put one of the leis on, they were like, welcome to the luau, and they just kind of, you know, were silly about it and made it a little bit more fun. Which again, it was a really small thing that I think made a big difference at that point. And so when they had that open, they did sort of what I think is the typical, Aloha dinner show menu. So that was great too.
Yeah, I was glued to the coverage, obviously, through social media. And I noticed one of the places that I kept saying, if I had to be somewhere, I'd like to be at the Polynesian, because it seems like they're doing it right with how they, utilized Ohana. It's almost like they tried to make it a quick, kind of like a Aulani experience there, Hawaiian culture there, without the theme parks. But it was almost like they're trying to do like Aulani light and make the best of it. And I think that's kind of what you're saying. It sounded like, it wasn't perfect, but it was a good effort.
Yeah, we tried to tell as many cast members as we could while we were there, but we just had nothing but great things to say about the way that they handled everything. They had the Tambu Lounge open for, pretty much the entire time that we weren't on lockdown as well. And so the two bartenders that were working at the Tambu Lounge, one of them told us that they had clocked in, I want to say, around 5:45 on Saturday morning, and they were still clocked in. Monday evening. And I was just like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he was like, it's okay. And I was just like, do you even know if your house is okay? And he was kind of like, not really. And I was just like, wow. And you're here making drinks for people. We had nothing but amazing things to say about all the cast members and, the effort that they put forth and just being there away from their houses and families. And I can only imagine how stressful that was for them. And even then they still, made it a great experience for us. So that was amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love the cast members because they do go above and beyond in those special circumstances like that. Now, let me ask you one last thing about the hurricane. Then I want to talk about the Halloween party and your thoughts on food and wine. You're a veteran, you're from down in the Gulf, but what was it like when the storm was actually passing over? I mean, the Polynesian's right there on on Seven Seas Lagoon, so you have, it's pretty exposed compared to some of the other resorts. So what was it like? I mean, were windows rattling, or what'd you think?
I think the thing that made the most noise, actually, they have those really tall bamboo shoots outside of all of the buildings at the Polynesian. And when the wind started picking up, those things were just, smacking each other and smacking the side of the building. And it took us a little while to figure out exactly what the noise was, but we just kept hearing these really loud, cracking sounds. And we were, we were out on the balcony, of course, watching the trees and everything, which is probably not super safe, but it's really fascinating to watch. And we couldn't quite figure it out. And then we walked out into the hall. And actually one of the sliding doors at the end of the hall, the closest to us, the wind had actually pulled it out, so it was open, and there was a little bit of water coming in. Thankfully, it wasn't anything too bad, but those bamboo shoots were super loud. And the next day when we were walking around, there were quite a few of them that were, cracked in half and broken and facing all different directions. So, but we really didn't hear a whole lot. There was a huge tree that fell not too far from us, and I really don't even recall hearing it. So we didn't, it definitely wasn't anything too scary, but right around 1:30 in the morning, I believe, was when the eye passed, or what was left of the eye passed right over us. And I do remember waking up in the middle of the night because I heard something, some kind of noise. And when I looked at my phone to see what time it was, it was right around 1:30. So the next morning when I got up, I was like, okay, well, I guess that's probably why it woke me up, because the wind was the worst at that point. We really, other than some tree damage and a couple of the longhouses had a little bit of roof damage, mostly it sounded like kind of cosmetic things. The Polynesian fared pretty well, and we definitely never felt like we were, unsafe or anything like that. So it was, for a hurricane, if you have to go through a hurricane, I would say the way to do it is definitely at the Polynesian.
I remember because with Charlie, we were at Pop Century, and it was still a very new resort back then. It was only about a year old. Yeah. And the next morning we got up and there were many, many trees that had been just yanked out of the ground because their roots were so shallow still at that point that they couldn't take it. They didn't snap. They just kind of came right out of the ground. So it is pretty amazing. I mean, I never felt scared either because, I figured the buildings are pretty tough there. So anyway, let's talk about the remainder of the trip. So once all this happens, You know, give us some highlights. Yes. Like you said, you know, first time at Food and Wine, people are probably excited to be out of the rooms and having a good time. It's time to get back going. So tell us about your thoughts.
Definitely. So we did, which we're normally, you know, pretty regular park hoppers, but I would say we did an exceptionally large amount of park hopping this trip, just because we felt like, you know, we knew that we were going to have to cut some things, and being the very meticulous planner that I am, I kind of had to let go of some things. We had a California Grill brunch reservation on Sunday, which of course that got canceled. So we were a little bummed about that. So hopefully maybe next time we can catch that again. And then originally we had our Halloween party scheduled for Sunday evening as well. So we ended up moving that to, the following Friday, and Disney was great about, making sure that that all got sorted out. All we had to do was go to guest relations and say, hey, we were going to go this day. We'd like to go this day instead. And they took care of everything for us. So, the day after the storm, well, really for the rest of the week until Saturday, there were still really not a whole lot of people there. I think NCO didn't really get to regular operation until closer to the end of the week. So that was really nice for us. So Tuesday, we went to Hollywood Studios for a little while. And then we went to check out Disney Springs. So we hadn't actually seen it since, you know, everything had been redone. Because it had actually been about 2 years since the last time that we were there, which is a really long time for us. I know, you know, we're fortunate that that's a really long time, but so we went to check out Disney Springs for a little while, went to Sprinkles, had a cupcake, just kind of walked around and checked everything out. And then that evening we went back to Epcot for a little while, and we got to see the Eat to the Beat concert, which was Starship that night.
Nice.
So that was really cool. Yeah, that was fun. And then by the end of that day, we kind of had tossed around where we wanted to see fireworks, but we were kind of exhausted from how much we had done already. So we ended up going back and watching the fireworks at the Polynesian, kind of outside of the main lobby, which I would highly, highly recommend for anyone who stays at the Polynesian. We went and got a drink from Trader Sam's and just sat on the grass out there. And it was great. You have a great view of the Magic Kingdom fireworks, which happened to be Halloween party fireworks that night. So that was really cool to get to see them from far away and also from in the park. But yeah, that was a really cool experience.
Yeah, I agree with watching them from the Polynesian, though, because that was the last place I saw Wishes. You know, the last night of my trip when Wishes was going away, you know, we were with a bunch of friends. We all met at the Polynesian. Like you said, you can get a drink over there and just sit on the beach or, you know, get on a swing. And, you know, it was awesome. That was my last time I saw Wishes before Happily Ever After premiered. And, you know, I'll have that memory forever now. So it's a great place to watch.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I was a little bummed, you know, having seen Wishes so many times over the years, we didn't get to make it one last time to see it. So I was a little torn, but we did get to see, we saw Happily Ever After on Thursday, I guess. And it was really great. It was a really different experience for me, you know, because I love Wishes. It was one of my favorite fireworks shows that Disney's really ever done. And so that was a little tough for me to to swallow that one. But yeah, it was awesome. And one of the other cool things, though, with DVC, they're doing the Moonlight Magic offers right now. So they do sort of like the best comparison that I can give is like when they first started doing extra magic hours a long time ago, when you used to have to get a wristband at the front of the park. And that was really similar to what the Moonlight Magic is. So basically you check in either at your resort or at the front of the park, which it's Animal Kingdom for the one that they're doing right now. And you get a wristband and they close the park early. So basically only DVC members have access to the park at that time. And you get to ride all the attractions that are open. They had a special viewing of River of Lights, which is cool. We got to see that for the first time as well. And then we got to ride the Avatar Flight of Passage for the first time, and we actually were able to ride it two or three times while we were there, which when I told my parents about that, they were just like blown away because they were like, we only got to ride it one time because we had to wait for so long.
Yeah.
And that ride was amazing. We were super excited after we got to do that. So they did a really great job with that. But yeah, that was a really fun experience. And it was, I mean, I'm sure had it not been the same week as the hurricane, there probably would have been a few more people there, but it was really great because, you know, the park was super empty. So we got to do, a whole lot of stuff that night. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, of course you lost time because of the hurricane, but also in a sense you kind of picked up time because, you know, you didn't have to encounter as many lines or crowds or bottlenecks that you may have on a typical, you know, week that you're there in September, even though the crowds are low, there, you know, you still got a lot of stuff going on. So it almost balances out. And it's one of those for the books, you know, like you can say I was there when, you know, it wasn't perfect, but it sounds like you were kind of glad to be there and kind of seize the opportunity to make the best of it.
Yeah, we were. We kind of decided when we left, you know, it was like we know that there's going to be some things that we're not going to get to do that we normally would always do, or, you know, things that we were planning on doing for the first time that we maybe haven't done before. But even with all of that, we'll still get to be there and it'll still be fun. And we just kind of made the best of it. And we were exhausted when we got home because we did, I think, a whole lot more than we even expected to be able to do. So it was still a really great trip for sure.
Sounds great. Well, before we cut you loose here, we got one more thing I want to ask you about, because Halloween's right around the corner. The parties are wrapping up for another season. I can't believe it. It'll be Christmas down at Walt Disney World like in 3 weeks now. But what were your highlights from Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party? Did you guys dress up? What were the things you really enjoyed?
Yeah, so we did dress up. So originally, because my sister was going to be joining us, we were going to be Tweedledee and Tweedledum, and my husband was going to be the Cheshire Cat. But because my sister wasn't there, we just had one Tweedle, and he was still the cat. And so the cast members all night were like, "Where's the other Tweedle?" And
I'm like, Pensacola. Oh,
man. It's actually kind of sad. So we did dress up, and that was fun. We did just kind of like simple costume t-shirt type of things, and that was definitely the way to go because it was super, super hot, like close to 100 degrees almost every day that we were there. Definitely going lightweight with the costumes was a really good decision. And then we saw the castle show, which was awesome. It was super cute. And we got to see the parade. I was excited about that because I've heard you guys talk about, you know, how great it was. And that was really cool too. I really liked the Haunted Mansion, the hitchhiking ghost float at the end. That was probably my favorite part of that one. And then we got to see the Cadaver Dance, which I love the Dapper Dance. So I was really excited to see that as well. That was a really cool, like, you know, Disney thing that was just a little bit different than normal. Just, you know, something different to experience. And then Hallowishes, I think, was probably my favorite fireworks show that I've ever seen at Disney. It was awesome. And we got a really great spot. Again, it wasn't super crowded, so we kind of had our pick of places to sit. So we were just behind the hub in the fountain area. And we actually got to sit down during the fireworks, which, you know, that's like not really a thing that ever happens. So that was awesome. But the show itself was just, it was really great. I think it's definitely, if we have the opportunity to go back to the Halloween party again in the future, I think we definitely will. We felt like it was definitely worth the money. And the pumpkin Mickey waffles were just kind of like, you know,
nice
bonus to all of that. So, yeah,
all right,
it was great.
So last question before we cut you loose here. If it comes up we can go down in mid-September again. Are you going to pull the trigger? Are you going to be kind of, it's hurricane season. What do you think? Are you going to travel this time again?
You know, I honestly think we would, I think we probably would. It was great. I think we got to experience Food and Wine with a way smaller crowd, which is a huge plus, of course. I think we got to do a lot more stuff than we really thought we would be able to do, just because the crowd was so light during this time. And even with the hurricane, you know, it was a little bit different because we're the type of Disney travelers that we go, go, go all the time. And so it sort of forced us to actually relax while we were in Disney, which is really weird for me. And we never do that, but it ended up being kind of nice. You know, we got to spend a lot of time at the resort. We got to walk over to the Grand Floridian one day and just check things out. So it was a different trip for us. But I definitely think we would do it again. So
All right. Well, hey, it's one for the books, and it was a lot of fun to talk about it. I'm glad everything turned out well for you guys. Emily, thanks so much for joining us and kicking off another great week with us.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Drop by thewisdomofwalt.com today. Two great books, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, the new one based down in Walt Disney World, and of course, the original, The Wisdom of Walt. Both lessons in those books that are going to inspire you, get you fired up for life, and see how Walt Disney himself left us little nuggets to improve ourselves. So check them out. Great books. You got to get the new one if you read the original, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, available now over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And don't forget, you don't want to stay in lines, whether you're at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or dare I say it, even over at Universal. You need the information to steer clear of the crowds and have a great time, and touringplans.com will let you do just that. So pick up your premium subscription today over at touringplans.com. Don't forget, when you do your online shopping, please do support the podcast. It helps so very much. When you buy anything online at Amazon, please go through our affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It costs you exactly the same, and you get all your Prime benefits as well, and gives us a little kickback to help us pay the bills, which are ever expanding, which we don't mind. We love spreading the love. So please do support the show. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon for all your online shopping. And don't forget, you can follow the show on the social media, Instagram and Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. And we've got a great Facebook page over at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, well, it's time to turn you loose and get rolling on another awesome week. Hopefully you're super productive and you have a great, just make it great for all those around you. Just make it a great day. So for Emily, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.